That's what makes you special. That's what sets you apart, is because God lives in you. And you don't become holy because you suffer. This is exactly what I heard. You don't become holy through the things that you suffer. You overcome the adversity because you are holy, because you are designated, because you are designed, because you are created special. You are a child of the living God because of the authority that Jesus has given, because he is living in you by his Spirit, because of the power of the Holy Ghost that has taken up residence in your body. You overcome adversity because you are holy. You do not, say, I do not. I do not suffer to increase my holiness. And I'm it's another one of those things I said last week. I'm angry. Every time I think about this stuff, I get angry because, first of all, it's a lie. And it paints such a horrible picture of the God of the universe who loves us so much that he sent his son. How can you quote John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would be what? Rescued, saved, right? God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued. And then turn around and say, well, you know, if you go through enough crap, you'll be pleasing to God and you'll be holy. The way you get set apart for use is you just get abused. No, not at all. That's not true. It's a religious thinking. We are righteous by design. Y'all know that song? We are righteous by design. We are created to triumph. Again, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, which, and it says, always causes us to triumph, is always causing us to triumph. That word there literally is to be led in a triumphant procession. Always causing us to triumph in Christ, and making manifest the fragrance of the knowledge of him through us in every place. I speak that over y'all all the time. That what we experience together and what you continue, even when we're not in here together, that fragrance of the knowledge of God accompanies you in everywhere you go, in everything that you do, in your business, in your friends, in, you know, getting gas, buying lunch, in the wisdom that's in your life, in the love, in the way that you don't react. You don't react, act in opposition to, or reciprocally to a stimulus, but you respond. You give an answer or act positively in return. People notice these things. And that when you just walk in the room, you know, I remember that thing that happened, Popeye's, what, a year and a half ago? I think I shared the story with you. We've been meditating over these things. I speak over these things over all of us all the time. Jill and I walked into a restaurant to order lunch, and the lady at the counter turned around and looked at us and said, what is that smell? What does it smell? That do you have some kind of special perfume on? And I'm thinking, yes, I do. She smelled it. Listen, these things are true. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. See the first 5 minutes, okay? I know these things sound foolish. I know to the natural mind they just don't fit, but the kingdom of God is real. And the more we begin to understand that, the more we lay hold to, the more... the more we let that faith be formed in us, the more we'll see it around us as we walk in it. So, talking to God. Sometimes I think when I approach him, I ought to go, "Hey, Father, it's me." You know, because I bug him constantly about stuff. As he was showing me these things, it started off with really just that idea of holiness. You don't become more holy because of what you suffer, but you overcome the adversity because you are holy. You are righteous by design. You're created that way. I'm thinking, how do I phrase this? How can we, I don't know, kind of nail this down? What are we really talking about? And what I heard was, it's the law in your lives. What we're actually talking about from last week with the suffering thing, thus far this morning with the holy thing, and what we have to do in order to make these things happen, and what we have to endure in order to please God, what the Spirit of God said was, it's the law in our lives. It's the law in your lives. It's the way we think. It's the way we go about things. It's the way we tend to operate. And what I said a minute ago, goes a while back, let the law pass from me and let faith be formed in me. That's become an entreaty that I speak out to him in his presence, because I begin to realize these things. Let the law pass from me, let faith be formed in me. And I realize there have been a verse of scripture that all of you know, I'm sure, over in Galatians, 3rd chapter. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed everyone that hangs on the tree, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through faith. Yes, hallelujah, right? And I thought about it, and I flipped over there, and I looked at it again closely for the who knows how many hundred times, right? So if you want to, you can look over to Galatians 3:11 with me.